Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Radio Show. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice, our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Oh yes, right here on The Healthy Mind. Well, welcome everybody, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is The Healthy Mind Podcast for August 15th, 2012. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. I have a fantastic program planned for you today. We're going to be talking about the role of our thoughts in actually determining our reality. We're going to be talking about how some of the automatic negative thoughts get in our way, how easy it is for that to happen, and why you really have to work at it, or else they're going to dominate. So we're going to talk about that whole process and talk a little bit about maybe some ways that we can really knock that down. And hopefully, that'll make a difference in people feeling better. So I'm really glad that you are here today. Really great show planned for you. So the power of thoughts, both negative and positive. Please stick around for the second half of the program. Wow, some really powerful news this week in the research, a really important finding about a very practical and easy way to minimize our feelings of loneliness. And it isn't what you think. You're really going to want to stick around for this because it's very, very easy and simple to do. We're also going to do some headlines, and man, we've got ourselves a great looking podcast. All right, so I am glad that you are here. The website, as always, www.thehealthymind.com. You can always follow me on Twitter. I'm at Dr. Zafiridis, and any questions, comments, anything, please don't hesitate to email me. A special thank you to all of you who have been emailing me some great, great questions and some wonderful constructive feedback. I really do appreciate it. The email, as always, peter@thehealthymind.com. Okay, housekeeping is out of the way. Now, how did I come up with this week's podcast topic? Would you believe, of all places, I figured it out in my garden? Oh yeah, you heard that right, in my garden, my vegetable garden. I'm sitting there checking out my tomatoes, which I love to do, and let me tell you, this year, I don't know about your garden, but this was a super, super garden that grew. I put it in a new place this year on my property, a really nice south-facing plot of land, and these tomatoes have exploded. I mean, I cannot believe how tall my tomatoes are this year. But, side issue. But I'm sitting there in the garden, and I'm looking around, and I've got it fenced off because, you know, I just don't want those critters coming in and stealing my tomatoes. Hate that. But anyway, I was looking around, and because I've got it all kind of walled off or fenced off, and I put some of that weed block down, I was looking all around the outside of the garden, and it was full of weeds. I mean, I tried weeding it, and I have a couple times over the summer. It's been pretty darn hot. I can't believe even weeds will grow. But there were weeds everywhere, and it got me thinking. It reminded me of this topic of automatic thoughts. And there's a connection here. I always talk about on The Healthy Mind, and as I do in my practice, about the power of our thoughts. Our thoughts truly have the capacity and routinely do form our reality. What we think, we truly become. That's not just a saying. It is actually true. When we think positive thoughts, when we believe in ourselves, when we have positive emotions, good things really happen. And it brings about more positive feelings and actions in our lives. Those are the results that happen. Now, in my line of work, I see the opposite, the power of the negative thought. And that can be very, very destructive. Those negative thoughts are just devastating to our self-esteem, our sense of self, who we are, and can really drag us down. And when it's bad, it could make us terribly, terribly depressed and anxious. Now, what in the heck does a vegetable garden have to do with our thoughts? Well, I'll tell you. Remember, I said those weeds were everywhere outside of my garden. And this is the power of those negative thoughts. When you plant a garden, or you plant anything, I don't care what it is, grass or flowers, whatever it may be, you always have to weed. You always have to weed. If you don't weed, those weeds are going to overtake your flowers or your grass or your vegetables. And you don't have to do anything at all. Nothing. And those weeds will grow. So you really have to put in the energy to keep that garden free of weeds, or else you're going to have a beautiful, beautiful weed garden. This is how our thoughts work. Particularly when we look at the power of negative thinking and negative thoughts in creating negative emotional states like depression and anxiety. If we allow our negative thoughts to take over, if we let those negative thoughts take over, oh, they will. And it doesn't take a ton of energy like those weeds. They're going to sprout up and grow and grow and grow. And as those negative thoughts grow, so changes our mood. Our mood begins to shake. It becomes anxious. It becomes worried. It can become very depressed. And we begin to suffer, both personally, in our relationships, work, everything begins to suffer. But there is work that we can do. And I talk about it a lot here on The Healthy Mind. We have to challenge those automatic assumptions, those automatic negative thoughts that make their way into our mind, into our thinking, like those weeds in a garden. They're just there. And when they get there, they sprout. We have to do the work challenging those assumptions and authentically incorporating positive thinking into our lives. Now, when I say positive thoughts and positive thinking, I'm not talking about some self-helpy, new-agey type of thing where you almost trick yourself. If you say enough things positively, all of a sudden you're going to feel better. In fact, there's been studies that have shown that that type of approach doesn't work. What I'm talking about is when people have these negative thoughts, is to challenge them. How much are they absolutely true? And what are some positive things that everyone has done, all of you have done, successes, strengths, perseverance, resilience in your life, so that when an automatic thought comes, one doesn't just, oh yeah, here it is, I must not be worth anything, or I'm no good, or whatever it may be. You challenge it. You challenge it. I guess, in a way, you're weeding your emotional garden, right? The automatic thoughts that come in that are negative almost take no energy. They come in, but they can overtake your emotional landscape, much like the weeds in my garden can, if I don't put in the effort, can overtake my vegetable garden. So I put in that time. I put in that time and make sure that there aren't weeds. But I guess in that same matter of thinking, in that analogy, this is what we have to do with our negative thoughts. Those doubts that we have, those fears, their thoughts. We give them power. We do. You do. But you don't have to. No matter how difficult you think it would be to change your negative thoughts about yourself, you can change them. You really can. And I say that because I see it every single day in the people that I treat. It happens because people are already amazingly strong. This is why I say on this show, never doubt how truly powerful you are, because you are. People show up for life. They have their negative thoughts about how they feel about themselves, insecurities, doubts, and fears. But they tend, we all do, tend to minimize the strength, the power, the perseverance that we actually have. So when I say tap into that positive thinking, that positive thought, I'm talking about things that you have accomplished or have succeeded in, to challenge some of those automatic thoughts that make you question whether or not you can do these things. This is so important for you to realize, for all of us to realize. This is the true power of thought. If we're not careful, well, heck yeah, just like my weeds in the garden, it'll overtake us emotionally. But if we take the time diligently to challenge those automatic assumptions, those automatic negative thoughts, we don't allow them to take root and they won't grow. And if we don't let them grow, well, so much beauty can come from it. The confidence and the strength and the belief in oneself, that is what you want to spend your energy on. And that is what propels you forward to accomplishment and success and a beautiful, beautiful peace of mind. And that, my friends, is a wonderful first step to take down our road to the healthy mind. And now it's time for news. Okay, well, another busy, busy week of health news. I have two really important pieces. The first, though, just outstanding. The headline, mindfulness meditation can reduce loneliness. Wow, a new study out of UCLA. It finds that mindfulness meditation actually helped to reduce loneliness, and that some of these mindfulness techniques actually improved the immune system. So here we're talking about the mind-body relationship at its best. When we talk about loneliness, it is one of the biggest things, at least when people come to see someone like me, that makes people feel sad, this issue of loneliness. And especially in the elderly, people spend a lot of their elderly years alone. Children take off in their own direction. Loved ones and spouses may pass away. But it isn't just an issue of not having companionship. There are real health consequences when it comes to loneliness. But it can have a serious, serious physical impact as well. In fact, if you look at the studies, loneliness has been linked to an increase of a wide range of health issues like heart disease, Alzheimer's, and certainly depression. So there's a real need to develop treatments that can help combat the loneliness. Well, it seems like researchers at UCLA may have found something here, particularly as it relates to mindfulness meditation. Researchers at UCLA reported that a simple meditation program, and they did this through 8 weeks, reduced loneliness in older adults. And as I had talked on an earlier podcast, there was a recent study that was done looking at the effect of meditation as it related to the inflammatory system, and you can find that on thehealthymind.com. That study found that when people meditated, it lowered the overall markers for inflammation, these proteins that mean that there's inflammation in the body, and that may be part of the reason why there's a greater risk of health disease as it relates to anxiety and depression and the emotional feelings. But these particular researchers did a 2-month program with volunteers of mindfulness-based stress reduction, mindfulness meditation. And that can be very, very powerful. It doesn't have to be a very intensive yoga, chanting kind of traditional meditation, but mindfulness for a small period of time brought profound changes. According to the senior author, Dr. Steve Cole, quote, "Our work presents the first evidence showing that psychological intervention that decreases loneliness also reduces pro-inflammatory gene expression. If this is borne out by further research, mindfulness-based stress reduction could be a valuable tool to many diseases and psychological disorders. Now, it's a smaller study, but it was important because the trends are there. The meditators attended weekly two-hour meetings where they learned the techniques of mindfulness, including awareness and breathing. And then they practiced mindfulness meditation for 30 minutes a day at home. And then they attended a single day-long retreat. And they found that they felt better, they had a reduced sense of loneliness, and like the earlier study, blood tests showed a significant decrease in the expression of inflammation-related genes. Just amazing. According to Dr. Michael Irwin, quote, "While this was a small sample, the results are very, very encouraging. It adds to a growing body of research that is showing the positive benefits of a variety of meditative techniques." So the mind-body connection, meditation being effective not only in reducing our sense of nervousness and worry, calming us, but it may actually make us feel less lonely, and it can have profound impact, literally, on the inflammatory system of our body, the mind-body connection. It's alive and well. Okay, now, the next piece of news. You know, here on The Healthy Mind, I always say, leave me an email. Drop me an email. Let me know what I'm doing well, maybe what I'm not doing so well either. I want to hear from you, right? I want to learn. If I'm doing something right, great. If I'm not, I want to know that too. Well, all that feedback may be for nothing. The headline, feedback can have a negative impact on performance. And what the researchers found was that people who give positive encouragement and constructive criticism could be wasting their breath. How about that? The research shows that not all feedback is necessarily good for you. This was a group of researchers from Queen Mary University of London, and they found when people received either positive or negative feedback about their performance on complex decision-making tasks, it made their decision-making worse. Made it worse. According to the lead author, Dr. Magda Osman, quote, "The kind of task people had to perform was difficult and demanding. So when people received positive or negative feedback, it overloaded them with too much information and distracted them from making a good decision. We found that people's performance got worse when they had to make sense of the feedback they were given while also performing the main task." How about that? So the effect of feedback, whether it's positive or negative, gets in the way of our thinking, particularly when we are in the midst of a task. Now, going back to Dr. Osman, quote, "People are already bombarded with high levels of complex information with the influx of new technology into our lives and the increasing reliance on information from the smorgasbord of apps we have at our fingertips. It is bound to take its toll on our ability to make good choices in difficult decision-making situations." I mean, essentially, the researchers found that feedback really doesn't help when we are making complex decisions. Now, of course, this contradicts some of the other research that is out there, but it still is an important study to consider. Even though it may not be popular, according to the recent studies that are out there, does not mean that these findings aren't significant. Something to think about. Feedback may not be important as we think. I think I still want you sending me those emails. All right. Now, with the time that we have left, I just want to blast through the remainder of the news headlines in a segment that I like to call the Healthy Mind Headlines. Okay, the first headline. A chemical widely used in antibacterial hand soaps may impair muscle function. triclosan, and I've talked about this on The Healthy Mind, triclosan, an antibacterial chemical widely used in our hand soaps and other personal care products, hinders muscle contractions at the cellular level. And this is according to researchers from both the University of California, Davis, and the University of Colorado. The next headline. Too many Facebook friends is bad news for charities. New researchers suggest the more friends that we have on Facebook, the less likely we are to share information about charitable causes. And finally, the headline, consuming flavanol-rich cocoa may enhance brain function. Consuming cocoa flavanols as a part of a calorie-controlled and nutritionally-based diet could improve brain function. Insulin resistance and blood glucose levels are significantly improved in the study participants who drank cocoa containing mid to high levels of flavanols. Improving our brain function through cocoa. How about that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have done it again. You and I, we have made it to the end of yet another broadcast of The Healthy Mind. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. The website, as always, www.thehealthymind.com. You can follow me on Twitter as well. Please don't hesitate. That's at Dr. Zafiridis. And any questions, comments, criticisms, let me know. I want to hear from you. You can email me with any question at peter@thehealthymind.com. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. And for the Healthy Mind Podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network, I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on The Healthy Mind.